It's very good to be here with you today. I'm very glad to get to come and to visit with you, to be able to share with you more updates on what God is doing. I know that you are faithfully praying and supporting and really are a part of this ministry. And so some of this will be familiar from prayer letters. And I did want to be able to share some update, though, in a more personal way while I can be here. And my goal is that we can rejoice together to see what God is doing. God is at work, and it is just a privilege to get to see him as he builds his church, as he encourages believers around the world, and makes his word known in places where it hasn't been before. And to get to be a part of that in different ways is really a blessing. And so I hope that we can rejoice together to see what God's doing. And I hope that it gives you a little bit of an even clearer picture of what he's doing so that you can pray. And I know you do pray. And sometimes it just helps to be able to get to talk more about it, to see the pictures, and to understand how can we be laboring together in prayer with those around the world who do not have scripture that they can understand. And it is something that's certainly I find easy to take for granted. I really hadn't thought about it much before I started working with Bibles International, first as an intern back in 2008. But that was when I first met people from Bibles International. That was really the first time I thought so much about how many people did not have access to the Word of God that I just had so freely every day. And so I'm glad to be able to serve in this way, that God's directed me to help others to have this same hope. And so you've also seen on my prayer letters and, let's see if this is working for me. There it goes. So I have chosen as a verse to represent my ministry from Romans 15:4, and partly because of this, it reminds me not to take for granted the precious treasure that I have, and it reminds me of what a blessing and privilege it is that all of us get to help others enjoy this treasure as well. And it tells us, for whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. And so I think we can all relate to this in some way, even though it's so hard for me to even imagine, what would it be like if I didn't have scripture? I grew up in a Christian family surrounded by people teaching me the word of God. I received Christ at a young age. I was so grateful that God graciously put people around me who taught me the word of God, and that I knew that Jesus Christ had paid for my sins, and that when I was convicted of my sin, I could call on the Lord. And I think all of us can think of a time when, whether it's at salvation or at a time of trial in your life or some type of doubt, that you relied hard on God's word. You had verses that came to mind. Someone shared them with you. You read them. You had them memorized somehow. But those words gave us patience, comfort, hope. It caused us to trust God and to believe that what God says is true, that God really can save and will save us. He is the only way. Or that God really is good, even if in the middle of a trial, I don't see it yet, I know he is good. Or that sin truly will destroy us, even when it looks so good and tempting. And we have verses that we can rely on to remind us of this. But for millions of people around the world, they don't have those words available to them. They rely on what others have told them. And I have to wonder if sometimes they doubt, maybe did so-and-so really teach us right? Does so-and-so know the truth? And how easy it is for actual false teaching to come in. And they rely also on the Holy Spirit. And we praise the Lord, God has not left them with nothing. The Holy Spirit leads and guides them. And they understand his ministry probably more than I really do at this point. I am learning that from them. But what a wonderful thing it is to share this treasure that we have, this wonderful hope that really helps each of us in our spiritual lives, that God has given to us and is really more just so precious. It's so essential for us. God said it's even more important than our food, which is 100% necessary. But this, even more so than that, is crucial for us to have. And so I am pleased to be able to serve with an organization that helps those who do not have access to this. And so I've just updated this within the last month. These numbers change as often as people are able to update them. And they really are best guesses. We can't be everywhere in the world and know all of the languages. But Wycliffe helps to compile stats and try to keep them up to date on any organization anywhere that knows about different languages and what's going on. And so the current totals, that's as best we know, is that there are 7,361 languages spoken in the world today. So I've seen that number go up and down a little bit based on what we know, but somewhere over 7,000, it seems like. And these are languages that are being used. These aren't counting ones that are no longer in use, that are dead or extinct languages, but ones that are being taught to children at home, ones that are spoken by people from generation to generation. And of those, you can see that there are still very few that have a complete Bible. Now, the number has gone up. When I was probably here the first time, the number was probably right at 500, or it was actually a little less than 500 when I first started working with Bibles International. So to see that among all kinds of missionaries around the world, those that God's called to serve, there are now 683 languages with the Bible. Just within the last few years, it's gone up. And this type of ministry is really growing quickly, partly because of technology helps it to move quickly and people can travel more freely. But it's wonderful to see that go up. It went from it was 7% of the world's languages when I first started, and now it's up to 9%. And so more and more people are gaining access to the Word of God. But you can see, even counting those that have a New Testament or even a portion, like often the Gospel of John or Romans Road, there's still over 4,000 languages, and over half the languages of the world still have no scripture at all. And so that's a lot of people. It's not over half the people in the world. We realize these are smaller language groups. Not as many people speak them. But they are all spoken by thousands of people. And many of them are spoken by tens or hundreds of thousands of people. And so there are over a billion people that don't have the Word of God in their own language. And so there's a lot of needs all around the world. And many missionaries of different groups are working on this. Because Baptism and Missions saw this as a need as they worked on different fields around the world, Baptism and Missions started Bibles International, and so this has been around for about 35 years. And we're located in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and our goal is to help people of every language to be able to have clear, accurate, natural scripture translation in the language of their hearts. So I'm based here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, for part of the year. It's our home base. It's our office where we work together when we're not in other places. And I come and go from there frequently throughout the year. So I'll spend about 4 months, maybe as much as 6 months at the office there. But then I'll also be spending 4 months, maybe as much as 6 months in a year overseas, with some time for furlough in between those as well, like this. So that's where our office is, and we travel out from there with the goal to help people who have no scripture. And so our team consists of those with several different aspects of the ministry. So some are working more on Greek and Hebrew, and do I need to point this somewhere in particular, or I'm sorry if I'm not making this work correctly. This way? Okay. So our team consists of many different people, different jobs. And here we go, Kathy Hodston there, she is one of our Greek and Hebrew experts. And so she works with making sure that the Word of God as it's being written really reflects clearly what God gave to us. And so she is one who works with that. There are quite a few on our team who are, that's their role. And if you come back tonight, I'll show you some more of their faces and more of how they work together and do that part of the job. And they are working together with national translators. And so actually the local people who speak that as their first language, they carry a lot of the load of the work. They are the ones who can think of the sentences and how to put them together in a way that best expresses the correct meaning, that has all the words that should be there. They are really the experts in their own language. And so they work together with those who knew the Greek and the Hebrew well and are working on the words of scripture. And then others have many other various roles. And again, tonight I'll tell you a lot more about that, all the different people that are involved in it. There's many jobs to do. It's not only the Greek and the Hebrew, and it's not only the national translators, but many parts of it. And so for a review, for those of you who maybe don't know as much about my ministry, I'm working together with these languages as they're working through the scripture to help them in developing their own language. So different aspects of their literacy or their language development. Because if they're going to be writing out the scripture and reading it and teaching it, as they're working on that, they have many decisions to make, anything from what are the letters of my alphabet, all the way up to how to spell the words, and how many verb tenses does my language have. All of these things they need to know, and someone has to figure it out. And so as they are working on that, it's my joy and sometimes tedious work, but I find it a lot of fun to try to think through things like that with them. And so sometimes we have meetings where we talk about nothing but spelling for 8 hours a day. So sometimes I try to find in my supporting churches, who else wants to do that? And there's usually a few, but not many. But if it is, then you're recruited and you're coming next time. These small details really affect the meaning of God's word. Even something as simple as where do the spaces go in between the words, it's a very challenging questions for them. And so to help them be able to work through that so that the word of God comes through most clearly. So this is my part of the ministry in helping them to be able to have and use the word of God. So far, I've worked in India and I've worked in Myanmar. I've also been to Mexico and Peru, not as often, so you haven't read that in my prayer letters quite as much, but I have been to those countries as well. I'm anticipating probably getting to Peru again in the near future, so that's some new doors God's been opening up there. I tried to count how many of these languages I've worked with. Don't be too impressed with it, but I think by my best count, I have worked with 16 of these languages on the field. I don't speak 16 languages, so don't think that, but have helped them working through some of their decisions, about 16 of them. And some of the other ones I've worked with just by email, they'll send me things to try to help with proofreading, checking things, but haven't actually met them. So done a few of those as well. Right now, Bibles International has about 44 languages in 16 countries. That number just changed because we had one language in Africa finished, and so their name came off the list. So we praise the Lord. They have a complete Bible now. And it's always exciting to celebrate those. But we've also just added two new ones. And so two came on the list. And you probably remember that from last time I was here. I can usually share each time. This list always changes. There's always a few finishing up every year and a few new getting started. And we already have some ideas of next year, maybe some new ones coming on, especially over in Peru, maybe expanding some of the work that's going on there. And so when you think of where am I a missionary to, not all of these places and languages, but as a team, we are working with all of these. And so as God leads, where there are needs, according to where our coworkers can go, we share this work. And so I fit somewhere into this picture. Mostly I've been in India and Myanmar, sometimes in other countries as well, but year to year, however God leads, wherever the needs are, I'll continue to follow and get involved in the ministry. And so I wanted to give you a little bit of a review also of the countries where I've been. This is India, and I put an arrow there to help point out which part of India. It's a very big country. So there's a lot of different places, different ministries. We are working with languages in the northeast, which is harder to spot on a map because Bangladesh is kind of in between India and the northeast part of it there, so it kind of interrupts it. So you have to go all the way east of Bangladesh, and you can find the piece of India where I've been serving and working with a few different languages there. It's actually in Assam state, which is known for being home of the best tea in the whole world. So I enjoy that. I love any kind of tea anywhere usually. So they have the fresh tea gardens. We actually drive right through the tea gardens when we come from the airport. So that's a really fun part of it. But the best part for me about traveling to India is how much our national coworkers there, our Indian coworkers, really receive us like family. They treat us just like we are a member of the family. Yes, sometimes I'm traveling there alone in a sense, like in the airport, in the airplane, but I am always meeting with our friends there, and they really watch out for me, they take care of me, and we spend time together as just like as if I were in their family, if I were their daughter. And more than any other place I've been, when I'm away from India, I really miss them. I miss them like they are my family, too. And so I'm really grateful for God giving me so many friends there and people that I really enjoy serving and just being together with them as much as we can. So I'm looking forward to being back in India probably in September. We're praying that the Lord will work out some flights to be able to do that coming up this fall. I've also worked quite a bit in Myanmar. And so you can look at this map and see how actually the north part of Myanmar is touching that northeast part of India. So these are very similar languages. They are not dialects of one language. They are different languages. But they're nearby, neighboring countries, similar languages there in Myanmar that we're working on. And God has opened up this country so far beyond what my expectations were when I first started serving with Bibles International. Especially in 2008, I never dreamed how open it would be. Even when I was raising support, 2012, I was probably last year, maybe 2015, something like that. It was just starting to really get open then. But I have now traveled to 6 different states in Myanmar, and I really never thought I would get far outside of Yangon in the city there. And so it's been such an answer to prayer to see God open the doors for me to travel and for all of us to go and to actually get to see where the people live. And we've gone out into their villages, out in the mountains. It's really beautiful. I love to see it. And to be able to really help them more directly, where they live, get involved, and meet with them in their own villages and see the work progress that way. So we praise the Lord that we have so much more access than we used to. And we're praying he allows that to continue. I also did travel to Peru in the last couple of years. It was a little bit unexpected. I was filling in for a coworker who wasn't able to go and to teach a class like he had planned. But the Lord knew what he was doing. And as it turns out, we have had 2 languages in Peru just this year approach us for help in wanting to start a Bible translation. And so they're in research phase right now. And tonight you'll learn more about how we get started on research phase and how that's the very beginning. So they haven't started it yet, but they want to get started on their scripture soon, and we're working to help them do that. And so be praying about that, that God would open doors that I would be able to go probably in 2020 and visit them and help them get started on the basics that they need for beginning to write their New Testaments there as well. So I'm looking forward to that. I wanted to share a little bit more for the rest of this morning, just to give you some ideas of some of the specific groups of people, what God is doing in their lives, and so to help you pray a little bit better for that. Sometimes it's hard to picture, I think, what exactly do I do when I go to these places? And try to give some of the big picture tonight, but I thought I'd give a little bit of the specifics this morning of what is happening and what are we working together to do and what we've seen God doing in their lives. So one of the things we can really praise the Lord for is some of the languages are really at the very, very beginning. And so when I go and help these languages that are just starting out, some of the things we're working on are like in this picture, we're actually trying to come up with an alphabet. You have to start somewhere. And if they don't have any alphabets, how are they going to write the scripture? And so the picture behind me there, it's a little hard to see, but it's actually a picture. It's like a diagram of your mouth and your tongue and your teeth. And we have to some way figure out all the sounds they have. So we're teaching them about their tongue and their teeth and their mouth, and they come up and point, and we say, okay, where's your tongue going when you say this? And we try to figure it out and to be able to document their sounds so we can match them up to some type of writing. And so we just started that about 2 years ago, and God was so good, just gave them such quick agreement and unity on deciding it. Spelling decisions can be very controversial, but the Goka, they were able to agree very quickly to write reading books. And then we've been able to go twice now, you've read about in our prayer letters, twice, to go up to the Goka village and to work with the teachers on the book that they created and show them, all right, this is your alphabet, here's a book to help you teach it. And so the teachers are actually learning to read it, but also practicing how to teach someone else how to read it. And so very exciting to work with them. When we were there this year, they were so excited. They had a moment of dedication for the primer book, their first book they have ever written. And they all prayed together that God would use this to start to open doors for the gospel, that the Goka people would have the word of God. And so it's very, very early on. Sometimes we don't think of that as part of it, but if we want to have the word of God, we've got to start with an alphabet. And so the Lord's really allowed them to make a lot of progress in that, so we're praising him for that and praying that they would continue to move forward in that. Other languages are a little further along. They've got an alphabet. They're doing some reading. But they also, as they work on their scripture, are practicing better reading skills and background knowledge. And so we also work with teachers like the Simte I have here. We worked with them, especially last year, and they would like us to come back again in 2020. And they're taking real basic stories from the Old Testament, anything that's mentioned in the New Testament. Because they're trying to study and read and teach their New Testament while they're writing out the translation of their Old Testament. But people need some background knowledge. If the preachers want to preach from the New Testament, they need to know more about who David was and who Abraham was and what was the job of priest that Jesus fulfilled. And there's some gaps that are missing. And so their Sunday school teachers are working very hard to take Old Testament stories, just simply written, and use them to get people reading and understanding the New Testament better. And so we're working with them on that. And I love working with these teachers. They always have to practice during these classes. They have to study the stories really well themselves and then teach a lesson. And they do it with a lot of enthusiasm. And they participate pretty well for each other. They pretend they're good students and answer each other's questions. And they like to make activities to play as well, just like they can do with their students. And so the Simte, we can continue to pray for them. We're thankful for how God's led them this far and that they are taking those steps, thinking ahead that the full Bible is coming. They know the translator's working day after day on that Old Testament. And God's called out some Sunday school teachers to come alongside and help and prepare them and say, we want our church to be able to use this scripture. And so these Sunday school teachers are doing a lot of work to do that, and God's blessing their ministry. So maybe even sometimes when you're here at Sunday school at your own church, you can think of people like these Sunday school teachers and the important role they have in making sure these scripture translations are studied and used. They are part of that process as well. So in some of the languages, though, I'll share, they're a little bit further along. They've got the basic alphabet and reading. But like I said, there's a lot of other questions that have to be asked, like how to spell the words. Is something supposed to be one long word or two short words? And you think it's obvious where a word ends and the next one starts. It's not. That's the hardest thing that I work on. It's the strangest thing, but I cannot tell you how many hours a day often we are puzzling and puzzling and puzzling over whether something should be put together like one word or separated as two. And there's just no rules for it in those languages. But if you do it incorrectly, people will understand theological error from the verse. And it's very important that the understanding that they take is correct. And so one of the things we do is we've started teaching a lot more with the translators and working with them on studying and analyzing their language, their spelling and grammar. There aren't books written about it, but we want them to study it and find the patterns. What are the rules for how to spell clearly, where to put the spaces, and what verb tenses do you have? It's really hard to translate the scripture if you're not really sure what your verb tenses are. You just say them. But when you're trying to make sure God's word's accurate, you wonder, can I come up with a tense that's like this? And they're not sure how to match it. And so we've been studying with quite a few of the languages there. And one of them, Romong, as an example, they have worked on that for some time. They're working on their New Testament. And as they got started, we did a lot of study with their grammar with them. They're trying to figure out the best way to write. And the more we've started doing this with languages, all of them have started saying, well, let's print a grammar book then. We did all the work. Let's make a book out of it. And so interesting part of my job now in recent years, as we minister together, a way we are serving the church is printing grammar books, which doesn't seem all that effective for the work of the church. But how important that has been to these translators as they work on the scripture, to have that grammar book side by side and try to figure out how to write the words down. And so the Rawang have been working on this, and we praise the Lord that they've come to agreement on some of the questions about spelling and the verbs and the nouns, and they've written it down. And now, as my coworker just 2 weeks ago, I think, was meeting with them, they were working on the book of Mark. When they had questions, they went back to the book and said, oh, that's right, this is how we're supposed to write it. And they could solve it, and it would help them to be able to make the sentences clear. And so we're excited to see several of the languages doing that. And then the last thing that's come up is the more they started working on that, they started saying, you know what else we want? We'd like a dictionary. Good. The first time they started asking me about that, I thought, I have no idea what to tell you. I can't write a dictionary. And that's a huge task. I kept thinking, well, how is that going to happen? and we're trying to help them with the scripture. But imagine if you were a translator of scripture. Wouldn't you want a dictionary? That would be really nice. And so the translators keep thinking, I wish I had a dictionary. I wish I had a dictionary. And so while they're working on that, we have found that there are some free software that organization SIL developed, and we had them come and teach us how to use this free software. And so we can't write their dictionaries, but several of the language groups have found people with time to start using the software to collect words. And so they're trying to help out the translators by recording the different words into the dictionary software. And so several of the groups have started doing this. This is the Impui in India. And it's a lot of work for them, but it's also a really good way that they can get more people involved. And so I wanted to share with you the Bokha in Myanmar have been amazing at this. They realize the translators have so much work to do. How are they going to write a dictionary and the New Testament at the same time? But they have found some young people who are very skilled with software and said, okay, you will be in charge of the software. And those young people, they go out into the villages and they just come to a Bokha village and they have an assignment. And they say, okay, your village is going to come up with all the words we have for plants and farming. And they have someone, and the older people will just sit down and tell them, and they write them down and write them down. And they'll come to another village and give them an assignment. Your job is to come up with our animal words and list them out. And it gets everybody involved and excited, and it gets a lot of resources for the translators when they're trying to think of what are the words, like farming comes up in the scripture, and they want to know, what are our Simte words for that? What are our Bokha words for that? Someone has gone through and listed them out. Medical words, words of different organs of the animals from butchering when they get to the sacrifices, all these kinds of words, they're having people go out and collect those to help the translators in their work. And so sometimes we are working at the very, very beginning stages, and I'm helping a group like the Goka who don't even have an alphabet yet. Other times we're somewhere in the middle and we're having Sunday school teachers really help to support the work of that translation and to use the scripture. Sometimes we're trying to solve issues of spelling and grammar that are really slowing down the work. And some languages have even gotten to the point of having a dictionary and expanding out to a larger resources. For all of these, I want to share with you some of the requests that are here. It's a reminder to me of how hungry these people are for the Word of God. And every time I travel, we have more and more people come and ask, can you come and help us too? Next time, can you come a little further to our village? This is the Asho I met last year. And they told us of how sad they were when some of their young people went to Bible college and they saw some of the other language groups there at Bible college sang their own hymns, read the Word of God in their language, worshiped God in their language. And they said, I go home and we cannot do that. We have none. Can you please come and help us too? There are many more people who are desiring the Word of God and want help, but we need more. We need more workers. We are helping those we can, and we are so excited for how God's leading. But will you pray with us also that God will send more workers? Very thankful for Hadassah joining our team as well. We have one new worker for literacy and possibly some others joining us in this next year. But we keep praying that God will continue to bring new ones who can help and participate in the ministry. And as you continue to pray, do pray for the locals, those like the Simte Sunday School teachers, who all throughout the year are doing the hard work of teaching the Word of God, helping the translators to be able to use the Word of God, and they are really doing a lot of the work to prepare the way of the Scripture. Because having this work and developing the language and making sure these questions about reading and teaching and grammar are solved along with the translation, it helps people to be able to read and understand the Word of God. Because we know we want them to have the Word of God, but really we want them to open it and understand it, to read it, to live it. And so pray for us, and pray for those, like those in India and Myanmar we've seen today, who are really working hard to be able to have their churches be able to use and understand the Word of God, that they would be able to teach others, and that they would be able to understand and teach the Word of God as they work on it. So lots of needs that are there, and we praise the Lord for those who are really hungering and thirsting after his word, and pray that God would meet their needs.